Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, in this episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, you are going to listen to a replay of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions that are live each week. So in this replay, I'm taking that session, having it here so that you can listen to it, take notes, replay it, digest it, and then put these things into action. If you'd like, make sure to set your calendars for Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so that you can tune in live. If you want to register and sign up for free, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com, and there's a link on there. Or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com as well, and I can get you the information for signing up. All right, hope you have your notepad ready to go. Let's dive into this replay of the Authentic Persuasion training session. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to this week's Authentic Persuasion weekly live training session. Today is April 6th, 2022. This is session 30. My name is Jason Cutter. Welcome wherever you're streaming, watching this, either live or on a replay. This is going out to a direct Zoom webinar. Also, people watching this on LinkedIn, on Facebook, on YouTube. The replay is on the Authentic Persuasion podcast, Authentic Persuasion Show podcast. So you can find it there if you're watching this live and you want to catch it again. If you prefer podcasts, you can listen there. Wherever you're watching this, please make sure and support this. I appreciate you being here. If you're new to this and to me and my content and these sessions, I do this because I wrote a book a couple of years ago that got published, and it's called Selling with Authentic Persuasion, Transform from Order Taker to Quota Breaker. And as a guy with a marine biology degree who grew up being taught that sales is bad, sales is gross, sales is something to be afraid of, salespeople are dangerous, and the last thing you'd want to do is get into a sales career, I fell into sales at the age of 27 and then pretty much had to figure it out on my own, knowing that I didn't want to do the bad things that I thought sales was. And I realized years later that to be effective in sales, to be a sales professional, is not to do any of those strategies, those tactics, but in fact, it's to realize that sales is service and to push people and to persuade people and get people to take action on something that they say they want or need is a skill. It's an art. There's a science to it. And it's a needed thing, right? Sales is service. Sales, when done right, is something you're doing for somebody and with somebody, not to them. And so that's why I wrote the book. That's why I do the coaching and the training and the consulting I do and helping sales operations and companies build a scalable sales system and process to leverage sales as a service, right? And something you're doing for some people and not just a numbers game and not just full of manipulation. And then also helping individuals close more deals and make more money in a way that feels authentic and that's effective for both the customers and for themselves and ultimately for the company. So that's why I'm here. I appreciate you tuning into this because hopefully that means you want to get better and better at selling, at sales. Maybe you're running a team and you want to help them out. Maybe you're a vendor or supplier in the world of sales, right? So maybe you're an industry expert. Maybe you supply phone systems or data or marketing or CRMs. Maybe you're tuning into this and hopefully there's some things you can pass on to your customers who are using your platform or buying from you. And then ultimately you want them to be successful. And hey, who knows? Maybe there's some things in here that will help you as well in the process of your own sales career. So thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being here. Make sure to hit the like button. Make sure to leave a comment, say hello, share this, whatever platform you're on, and let's get more of this out there. So what happened in the previous session, if you didn't catch that, make sure to check out the replay. I did a Q&A session. And so in session 29, I answered these three questions that I had been submitted previously. And some of them, one of them I had, you know, asked directly. One of them I found online. Will people want to buy from me if I am my real self? So it's one of those questions I get a lot about authentic persuasion, right? And what people think they have to be, and then versus what works and how to
actually be yourself and where that intersection is with being professional and being yourself and being effective in sales. The second question was, how can I be authentic while using a script? That comes up all the time. Make sure to check out the replay session 29 and my thoughts and experience around that. And then the third one was, you say that I should assume the sale and use urgency to move it forward today. Won't that feel like a pushy salesperson? And I talk about and reference the authentic persuasion pathway and why urgency is so important and why that is critical. If you want to be effective in sales, you always have to focus on now being the right time for whatever it is that next step is, whatever the sales process looks like, whatever you've got to get done or whatever it takes to move someone forward. You've got to always focus on now. And I cover that and I cover what to do, obviously, if now isn't the right time, but overall, always remember that now is the right time. And I talk about why that is so critical and what you're up against if you don't do that. So this session, I am going to go through and answer more questions. So I actually, last time when we started the session, I had 6 questions total and got to half of them, went in deep with those. And so what I'm going to do is go through the next 3 here that I've got and hopefully provide some insight on a wide range of topics and questions and issues that I see to help you in your selling effectiveness. Again, the goal is to help you sell more, close more deals, make more money. And again, doing it in a way that leverages authentic persuasion and what you're doing already. And I have some eBooks. I'm going to mention them at the end. I've got some guides, overcoming objections, motivating your team. If you want any of the content, anything I mention in here, make sure to email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. And then just put in there what you're looking for, an eBook or a guide. Happy to send that to you just to help you out in some way possible. All right. So question number 1 is about questions. Funny enough, it is, what questions should I be asking? Now, I get this one a lot. I get this one a lot when I'm working one-on-one and when I'm training teams, where the goal with when somebody's asking me this question about which questions they should ask is they're looking for the silver bullet. They're looking for the, what is the one question or the questions I should be asking that will help me close more deals, right? And get to where I want them to go. Sometimes I think the intention behind this question to me about questions is that they're looking for the way to like push or trap somebody into needing to move forward or into buying or, you know, finding out that right thing about them, where you can, you now have the leverage and the power, right? Like almost like one of those courtroom scenes on in movies and TV shows where they are the, you know, the lawyer's asking somebody who's on the stand, asking questions and just trying to get them to a point where they have that aha moment that the attorney does, and they've got everything they need. And then now they can, you know, close the case, right? Like they've got all they need and then they're done, right? The sign, sealed and delivered. And here's the thing. And this is what a lot of people in sales don't want to hear, but there is no perfect question. There is no perfect line of questions. There's strategies, there's fundamentals, but there's no question. And I'm not just saying that because that could be a wide range of people in various industries watching this or listening to this, where, you know, it's tough to say, ask this question because you might be selling, you know, enterprise level consulting and implementation services, or you could be selling B2B SaaS, or you could be selling energy programs to people, right? It's not even that, where there's not one question. The problem with trying to find a question or the question is that it ignores the root of where people fail in their question asking process, and then what the actual goal is in the question asking process. And so let's talk about the failure part first, because I think this is important. I've talked about this in sessions in the past where I talk about the sales success fundamentals. Now, the sales success fundamentals to me are 5 traits that you can work on. And as you work on them, as you improve them, and as you develop them and become an expert in these 5 traits that you can develop, you will become a sales professional. And the reason why I say it that way is that I firmly believe that good, great professional salespeople are made, they're not born. Now, there's people who are born with some personality traits that really help, and some other traits that really lend themselves well. But I won't do it here. I'll argue that many of the traits that people think a natural born salesperson is born with actually are not necessarily good for sales long-term and what people are actually looking for. Charismatic, extrovert, over the top storytelling, like pushy, relentless. Like, yes, those are what you think is a natural, fearless. Like, yes, those are part of being in sales, but not necessarily in the right mix. They can be the most effective. However, for me on my list, and I mentioned them in the book, there is a chapter in the book about making yourself into a sales professional. The first two of those traits are openness and curiosity. And so you want to be open, and then you want to be curious, right? It's in that order. And persistence is in that list, but it's not in the top three. The openness and curiosity are more important than even persistence. And the reason why, just so you know, is that I've seen people who are persistently persistent, but they're not open and they're not curious. So they're persistent like a bull in a china shop where they're going their direction. They're not open to feedback. They're not open to other things, other options, other ideas, and they're not curious. And so they're just on a tear. And that's generally the kind of salesperson that is not what people enjoy dealing with as a customer, because that person is just persistent, but just misguided, if you will. So curiosity is on the list. And the reason why I say that you can make yourself into a sales professional is that I'm a perfect example of that, right? That's what I did. Being open to feedback, definitely not a natural thing for me, for sure. I'm for most people, open to new ideas, open to things like that. And then the biggest thing was curiosity. This is where from my own personal life is I was really curious about things, about science, about animals. You know, I went through a dinosaur phase and then I went through a shark phase, and which led into aquariums, which led into marine biology and so on. But based on my childhood, which I won't get into a lot of detail right now, I wasn't really curious about people. I didn't really like people. And I didn't really have a good relationship with people as a whole. And so I wasn't curious about them. I didn't care, which is probably why I also struggled with people, because I wasn't curious about them. It felt like I didn't care, which is just going to be a vicious cycle, right? People feel like I don't care because I'm not curious. And because of that, they feel like I don't care. So they don't care about me. And I can see where that would happen, right? We all know people where it's like, I don't want to hang out with them because they literally don't seem to care about anything but themselves. It wasn't until I got into sales. And it wasn't not just in the beginning of sales, but years of being in sales. Then I started to be curious about people and asking questions and trying to understand them and what they wanted and why they wanted it. And I made myself into somebody who is curious and really curious about people. And I know that I made that shift, which means anyone can do it. So the first part is you got to be curious. When it comes to asking questions, you have to be curious. I've interviewed so many people on my podcast, experts in their field, people who've been in sales for a long time. Usually grit is on the number one of that list, which is that persistence to just keep picking yourself up. But the number one trait of successful salespeople is curiosity. Just a overall deep sense of curiosity. Just want to know everything about everything, especially when you're talking to that prospective customer. And then what happens is that's going to lead to you finding ways to help. So that's the first half of this answer, if you will. The second half of what questions should I be asking is not so much about the questions. You have to take your natural curiosity, put together a list of questions that you would want to ask. But here's the part that matters the most. Here's the part that is the goal of asking questions, is you need to know one thing. Why do people want or need what it is that you're selling? Now, there's a lot of nuances in there. Why do people, that person, the other person, want or need what you're selling? What do they want? What do they need? And why would they need what you have? The other part is, why do they need it? Not why you think they need it. Why? Not why your boss told you, not why the trainer told you, not why the company says it in the brochure or on the website, not why you think, you know, as a result of drinking the Kool-Aid and being a part of the company and on this mission to sell whatever it is that you've got to everybody. It's not about what you think and why you think people need it. It's why does that person need? So when it comes to question asking, and going through those, obviously you have a list of questions, but it's not really about one question or a couple of questions. It's about digging as deep as you can to be able to answer that one thing that I just mentioned. Why does that person want? Or need what it is that you're selling. Why is that? Until you know that, you sometimes in your conversations, that happens in the first 30 seconds. Sometimes it happens in the first 30 seconds or a minute of the act. I need X because I need this, this, and this. Okay, great. Now the rest is just admin, right? No reason to use fancy sales stuff. No reason to deal with it. You are an Hey, what's going on, everybody? Looks like we are back. Let me just make sure as we go through this. Internet, I don't know, maybe it was my computer. I'm not sure. I'll say I'm having one of those days with the technology where this morning on a Zoom meeting with one of my teams that I'm helping consult with, it just kept dropping like crazy. So it seems to be the theme of the day, but I'm not going to give up. I'm going to persevere. Here we are. Let's just keep going. Hopefully this is coming through. Hopefully this is streaming. It looks like it is. I'm going to keep rolling and we'll just see what happens. So where was I? Talking about the fact that your goal is to answer that one question and do it. Sometimes in the beginning conversations, people just offer that info to you and then you're good to go. Other times you're going to have to draw it out of them. It's going to feel like talking to a teenager about their day at the dinner table, and it's going to be difficult and you're going to want to keep digging and you're going to want to try to get that information. Sometimes you just can't. Sometimes you might hit a wall where you just won't get that info. They're so shut down. They've got so many barriers up because of what they've been through and how much they don't trust you or the process or whatever might be going on where they just won't answer it. And that's okay too. So in that case, you just move forward and you just keep going and you just deal with it, right? And you just keep rolling. And in that moment there, you're an order taker. And that's okay because that means that You tried. And if that happens every once in a while, that's okay. You're not going to get everyone to be open and share their whole life story or all their hopes and dreams and goals, no matter what you're selling. Again, you could be selling SaaS to a company, you're selling an app to a company to help with their marketing. You know, they might not tell you a ton of stuff, but what you need to know is why do they want or need that? So here we are. It looks like we're back. We're streaming. Here we go. Let's keep rocking and rolling. So that was question number one. What questions should I be asking? It's not so much about what, it's about why and what are you looking for and what is the point of your questions. Once you figure that out and you know what is the point of your questions, then everything else is easy. Then everything else is you using natural curiosity to figure out how to find that information out. So, all right, question number two, let's keep rolling. You said it is my duty to help people, especially as their guide, but my product doesn't change lives. How do I get people to care? All right, so a couple things in that question. Duty, D-U-T-Y, is an acronym that I use that's driven until the yes. Driven until the yes. Once you know that somebody has that need or want or goal or pain they want to avoid, and you have the solution for it, right? You go through what we talked about in the last question and you're able to help them. You know, they have problem X or goal X and you have solution X, and now it's going. At that point there, it is your duty to help them. Driven until the yes. Like I talked about in the intro, sales is service, and you owe it to them as a professional and as a person, as a fellow human, to help them if you can help them once you realize you can help them. If you go through your process and you realize, I can't help them, they don't qualify, it's not a good fit, I can't help them, then you also owe that to them as well. And that's why I wrote a chapter in the book called The Value of Saying No, where you actually have to say no to people that's not a good fit, so that you can say yes to the other people. And that's what will separate you from the salespeople that the world does not enjoy dealing with, and that your prospective customers are afraid of you being like, right? Where everyone gets pushed forward. So that's the first one. And then the second part in this question that's mentioned, especially as their guide, and that's referencing the fact that most people in sales act like they are the hero. I mentioned that before, is that they think that what they're selling, it's all about them and they can help everybody and it's amazing and everyone should want it and everyone should need it. And essentially they and or their company are there to save the day. They are the hero to come in and swoop in and save the day, solve a problem, help somebody achieve a goal. But that's not what people want. They don't want a competing hero in the story that's going on in their head and in their lives. They want a guide. They want somebody to come to them and say, I have helped other people up the mountain. I know how to help you up the mountain safely. So if you come with me, when I help you, we can make it up there. Right? And do not worry. I'm here. I'm your guide. So the question again, you said it is my duty to help people, especially as their guide, but my product doesn't change lives. How do I get people to care? And one of the big things is, you know, referencing the assumptive process that a professional uses in something like the medical field. Right? When they diagnose you with an issue, they're assuming that you want to get help. That's why you're there. And then they just assume, here's the surgery you need. Here's the prescription you need. Here's the process you need. Here's the steps to get you back to health and wellness. And you're just going to do it because they're the professional and they're assuming you're going to do it. And when it's life and death or it's physical pain, mental pain, obviously there's more urgency and there's more power for the professional to have in the assumptive to get you back to wellness. Most people theoretically want to get better. If you're in sales, most likely you're not selling anything that's life or death or even transformational at a really high level. And so how do you get people to care? And the big key is you've got to make it all about them. The thing is that we use what I talked about in the previous question about questions, understanding why somebody wants or needs that. And then the value is not just, why do you need this? Oh, I need this because, you know, this marketing automation, because my company needs to be able to close more sales, right? And we need marketing to be able to track that better. That's great. Okay. But that's not super deep. That's not a really deep explanation, understanding why they really want it, right? Yes, that helps you. Okay, great. Now I can solve that. But really at that point, you're still just a commodity and you're selling it based on that, which is, of course, everyone's going to want to close more deals, but why? One of the things, and I challenge you to do this, is in every conversation, when asking questions, is to go as deep as you can. Here's the big thing to ask. Here's what you want to do. And again, I mentioned this right after the internet kicked back on, and I was finishing up that last question where you want, sometimes there's people who aren't going to let you go very deep. They're going to stop you. They're not going to let you, you know, persist with your questions. They just want to cut to it. That's fine. But you want to go into every conversation with the goal of asking them why that's important, right? So in this case here, marketing automation, sales needs to close more deals and marketing needs to be able to track that, right? And have a process. Okay, why is that important, right? And of course, the answer could be, the smart ass answer is, well, because we need to close more deals, right? Obvious. But why is that important to the company? Meaning, and this is how you preface it, why is that important to the company? Like, what are the company's goals? What are you trying to achieve? Oh, well, we need this growth, or we have a goal of X for this year or this quarter or whatever that looks like, or we're starting a new office and we need to be able to feed. Okay, now we're getting there. Okay, and then why? Like, why is that growth important? Why is that? And there's that side of it. And then there's also asking them for their sake, right? Where does this fit in for your job? Why is this important to you and what your role is at the company? Why is this, why does that matter to you? And going deep with them as an individual, because remember, it's not business to consumer sales. It's not B2B sales. It's not enterprise. It's not commercial. It's not retail. It's not any of that stuff. It is H to H. It's human to human. At the end of the day, every conversation you have is with a human. Until robots take over the buying and the selling part of the process, you are a human dealing with a human. And that's the most important thing to understand, right? And people have their fears and their doubts, their worries, their goals, their hopes, the things that they hope nobody finds out about, the stuff they're scared about, their bad experiences in the past, their trauma. They got stuff going on. All of those things, you're dealing with that human. So get to know that human and what it is. Why does that matter? Like, why would an marketing automation software help you in your role? How would that help you? And why does that matter? Like, why would that be important to you? And just keep going. They say that what you want to do is ask why, or why is that important to you, 5 to 7 layers deep. When you do that, you get to the heart of a matter, right? It's really important, especially if you're helping someone set goals, for example, and the leaders who might be tuning into this, is when you're going through that, like especially the vision board process, and what I put in my vision board challenge is that you want to ask why. Like, what's your goal? Make a lot of money. Got it. Okay. Why? Well, because I want to do X. Why? Okay. Because why? And then, okay, why? Right. And then you find out the money is to buy a house, to provide stability for the kids to grow up and stay in the same school so that they don't have the same childhood maybe that the person you're talking to did, where they moved around a lot. Right now. Okay. Now we know it's about stability. We know what that's going towards. It's not just about money. Now we found out a whole lot of information that's valuable from a support standpoint. Now that manager could support that salesperson with like reminding them when things get difficult, why they're really doing it. In this case here in the sales environment, you want to know why it really matters to somebody. No matter what it is, no matter what you're selling, there's a few layers you can always go down to find out why they really want it. What's at that deep level? And when you get there, when you go deeper and deeper, then you can, they will care because now they see the connection. And then you can remind them of that as they go through the process. Now it's no longer, hey, we need to get you signed up because we're doing a special by the end of the week or the end of the month or the end of the quarter or all of that manipulation based on, you know, bribing people to take action now. Instead, it's, we need to get you moving forward because you said this was important for your job so you can hit your numbers, blah, 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 right? That's how you get people to care. The only way to get people to care is to make sure they understand why it's important to them. Don't assume they know. Don't assume they have a good idea. Don't assume that they care. Remember, if they haven't signed up already, if they haven't bought from you or your company, they are stuck in their comfort zone, and buying from you is on the outside of that, which is change, and change is dangerous to the primal part of our brain. And so to get them to care enough about taking the leap out of their comfort zone and doing something dangerous and risky, like buying from you, right? No matter who you are, you could be a nice, great person with the best intentions. In their mind, that's dangerous. So they need to care, and you have to know why they should care. And then they will understand why they should care. And then you help remind them of that as they move forward. So hopefully that helps. All right, let's go through the third question here. My company wants me to use their sales process, but I would rather use the authentic persuasion pathway. What should I do? Now, when we talk about the authentic persuasion pathway, which is in a whole bunch of these sessions, and if you want to know more about it, or if you want a list of just the sessions to check out to understand the authentic persuasion pathway, please email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and just put in authentic persuasion pathway, and I'll send you the list with the links for the replays in various locations so you can just cut straight to those. When we talk about the authentic persuasion pathway and the five steps in the process, we talk about selling with authentic persuasion and what's in the book. And a lot of this content that I cover, it is fundamental. Right? These are foundational items. When I talk about the authentic persuasion pathway with rapport, empathy, trust, hope, and urgency, that is not a new process that should change what you're doing or be fundamentally different than what your company wants you to do, unless, in my experience, the company is just having you do it in an old school way that doesn't care about those milestones and those pillars like I'm talking about, which means it's probably not super effective and it's not scalable, which it would probably be better to use anyway. The thing is that if your company is really strict on it, right? If they're really rigid on what you have to do, and sometimes it's from a compliance standpoint, right? Like you're scripted and your process is controlled because of compliance, and this happens, and then this has to happen. I've seen that, and that's okay. Then what you want to do is take the principles of authentic persuasion and the authentic persuasion pathway and build rapport and then move on. And then use empathy when you're doing your question asking, your discovery and your probing, and you're trying to find out why they want or need something. You're doing it from a place of empathy because you care. You're using active listening, and then you're moving forward, right? And then you're talking about yourself in the trust phase. Then you're giving them hope, which is based on what you told me, I know how to help you. Here's what we can do. I have the solution. And then urgency, it's all about now, right? That's what I covered in the last session, session 29. The key is the authenticity piece. No matter what your sales process is, no matter what you're required to do or how you're required to do it, authenticity will be the game changer and will be the thing that separates you from the others that are out there in the sales environment, because you're going to come at it a different way, right? You're going to leverage your strengths. You're going to focus on those sales success fundamentals that I mentioned earlier that are in the book. You are going to do what you need to, realizing your job is to be a leader and a guide, not a hero, right? You're not there to control somebody. You're not there to push somebody. If you're a guide and a leader in the process, you're going to pull them. They're going to want to come with you, and they're going to want to follow you up the mountain and to safely exit their comfort zone and buy something new. The persuasion piece is about being in control of a process, not them, but it's about being in control of a process that you're then moving someone forward. A lot of people out there just wing it. They just think, if I just say enough stuff, just let me do what I do best. I'm just going to have conversations with people, and then that's how I close deals. That's not scalable. That's not repeatable. And if you're leading a team, you also know that's super dangerous, because not everyone's going to have that same skill. So few people are going to succeed, and most of them are going to fail if you just throw people out there and hope that they know what to do. The key is to use authentic persuasion and those principles. The other thing, and if you don't have a copy of the book, make sure to get it. It's available hard copy, Kindle, and Audible for listening to it, because the third section in the book is talking about the intangibles. And the reason why I mention that is those intangibles can be used and should be used in any sales environment, any sales process, any sales cycle. Doesn't matter if you're selling furniture in a retail store or you're doing enterprise consulting and implementation. Doesn't matter. Things like pausing. There's good pauses. There's good times to stop and not say something. And then there's really bad, dangerous times that always indicate when someone is an order taker to me, where they pause at the wrong time. For example, if you catch yourself answering a question and then pausing, you're leaving a gap for that person to hit you with another question or to come up with more reasons why they shouldn't move forward. And what you've done there, I call it the death pause. So you're leaving that gap and you're going to lose. That's a tough one to sustain and be able to recover from in that conversation and consistently when you're not in some level of control and moving things forward. If you're waiting for them to decide if they're okay with your answer or if they want to move forward based on just like waiting and just hoping to see what's going on, you're in trouble and it's going to be difficult for you to close deals at scale. And that's the big thing. So in the intangible section, it's things like that, how to get better at your follow-ups, which I've talked about in other sessions, but those kind of things, there's some intangibles, some foundation, fundamental things that you can apply, even if your company is requiring. Now, the other thing, and this is what I always tell people when they ask me this question, is if you realize there's a better way, something like authentic persuasion. And I'm not going to say that this is the only way to go, because I had somebody who's a professor from Florida State University on my podcast, and he was talking about a survey that was done where the top sales professionals use between like 3 and 5 different sales processes, sales architecture in conversations that they have. Right? You got the challenger sale, you got this, you got Sandler, you got that. There's all these little bits. So I'm not going to say that this is the only way to go and this is universal and it works everywhere, because you really want to be skilled at many different things, because again, authentic persuasion is a fundamental part. It's a foundation. And then you still need the tools in the toolbox that could come from this and from other things. But if you work at a company and their process doesn't work, it doesn't align with you, you don't like it, you don't agree with it, or it's just not effective, you're seeing things like what we talk about with authentic persuasion in the pathway, and you're like, yeah, I could see why that doesn't work, because now I see a different or better way. At some point, maybe that's not the right organization for you. If they are stuck in how they do it, which is the way they've probably always done it, and my guess is they might also be unwilling to bring in someone like myself to help them adjust their process, then they are just going to be focused on that one way. And if they think it works, then they're going to keep doing it. And if it's not in alignment with you, if it doesn't work with you, sometimes you have to leave. Go find a different organization that sells in a way that feels better to you and seems more effective to you. It's not just about, oh, this feels nicer and this feels great and it's more cuddly. No, it's also about results, right? It's about you closing more deals and making more money. So sometimes you have to get to that point and make that tough decision where you just know that it's not working and it's not going to work and they're not going to change. And what I would say is the last thing is, if you're in that situation before you leave, feel free to give them my information, maybe introduce me to your manager or to the owner of the company, and maybe I can help them integrate some of this stuff and we can do some training, some workshops. There's two sides. One is it always surprises me when companies are so stuck in their way and they literally don't want to change and they're not open to new ideas. And then it always surprises me too, when I talk to someone where on the surface, I'm thinking this is the kind of person who doesn't normally change. And then they're open to and excited, which is why I wrote in the book about prejudging, why you never want to prejudge. And so you just never know. That's why I do everything I can to talk to anybody about ways to help their team. So if you're on one of those teams and you think there could be a better way and you would like it, help me help them help you. Feel free to connect me with them or send me their information, or you can send them my information. So I mentioned some guides. Again, I have the overcoming objections, which is really helpful. I have a few other guides, especially vision board. If you want to set up your goals, email me jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. If you're still tuned in, if you check this out and you made it through all this, even with a little intermission, thanks to the internet and my technical issues today, I don't know what's going on. But luckily, we're halfway through the day. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for sticking it out. Appreciate you being here. When in doubt, if you have any questions or you want to look at it, I redid my website. So go to jasoncutter.com. I redid it and built it for salespeople or for leaders and owners. So make sure to check that out. You can find more of my content. Again, thanks for being here. Thanks for helping me on my mission to fill the world with over 1 million authentic persuaders. Because once we do that, we can change the way sales is done, which then as customers will change the way we want to buy and what we expect from a sales professional, which would just change the world. And we can shift the sales from being something that seems like a dirty word to something that's actually a service and something we actually look forward to getting help from a sales professional because we know it's going to be good. So thank you everyone for tuning in. Hope you have a great Friday and I will see you next week.
That's it for the replay of the Authentic Persuasion Weekly Live Training Session. Again, make sure to catch them live Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can go to jasoncutter.com to sign up so you can get alerts, put it on your calendar, and have the links for when it goes live. And you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I can get you the information to sign up, as well as let me know any questions that you have, topics you want me to cover, or guides that you may be looking for. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.